in the studios with us today, Amador County Sheriff Gary Redman. And late this afternoon, the sheriff's office and Sheriff Redman released the report, the final determination, I guess we'll call it.
On yes, the, it is, Jim.
On the death of Philip Haney. Now, for those of you who may not recall that name, he was a former federal employee, also a federal whistleblower during the Obama administration. He was found along Highway 124 at the ride at the rideshare location.
Right there at 124 and 16.
Right.
Correct.
With a gunshot wound.
Yes.
Fatal gunshot wound. And your department was brought in along with the FBI and others to investigate this. And so what was the determination?
So our final determination is he died of a single gunshot wound, and it was by suicide.
Mm-hmm. So why 2 years, Gary? This happened February, 20th, 21st of 2020, and it's taken this long to determine it was a suicide?
So once you bring in the FBI to help with the forensic evidence and the collection and also the processing and analysis, you are easily looking at over a year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff was processed back in Quantico, Virginia at the FBI's lab, which is one of the best labs in the world. And they agreed to do this, which I'm thankful they did. We knew it was going to be a long, long process. We had a tremendous amount of evidence we did collect. You know, a lot of it was evidence that was either on thumb drives or computer. And because of Mr. Haney's notoriety and being the whistleblower and some of the things that surrounded him, we wanted to make sure that he did not have classified information that even we weren't allowed to look at. And that's another reason why we brought in the FBI.
And there was that talk, it was an unregistered gun. It was an unregistered gun that...
Yes.
How did you... Was the gun there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the gun... We found the gun on scene and a shell casing. So when our investigators...
So, I mean, that would pretty much tell me that might have been a suicide.
So, and unfortunately, we had a tremendous amount of information from when we first arrived on scene. They processed it. They were looking at it. Responded to his RV. And everything indicated suicide due to the fact the gun shell casing was there. The body was indicative with the position of how we believed he committed suicide in a seated position. And then we found a suicide note. And then when we responded to his RV, he actually had everything laid out and directions on how he wanted things taken care of for his death.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to a neighbor who said he was depressed and he had given him plants, his house plants the day before. So you take all this information and you start processing it, and it leads in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was information that we just couldn't release, because until you have that forensic autopsy,
right,
to coincide and you process all the evidence, that's just not information we wanted to release, or we really can release at that time.
There's a section of this that intrigues me. On January 3rd, 2022, we received the final review report from the FBI on the documents contained on the thumb drives and laptop. The FBI indicated many documents found are property of the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. On January 24th, 2022, Sheriff's Office received a request from the CBP's Office of Professional Responsibility requesting to take possession of contraband documents.
That is correct.
So what were those on three thumb drives and the laptop? So what were the contraband?
So we reviewed, like I said, it was voluminous in nature as far as the amount of material that they actually processed contained on the hard drives. A lot of it was extremely benign. We had to review it. And it was, you know, documents, procedure, policy that, you know, customs felt that was their property, proprietary in nature, that should not be released or could not be released. And before we gave it to them, I made sure I said, I want to see a government code that precludes us from releasing this property back to the next of kin, because that is our job.
Sure.
Everything we collect, we have to preserve, safekeep it, and it goes back to the next of kin. So until they can provide that, and it took a little bit of time, and that's another reason why it just kept extending the last couple of months. We finally got all that, and we did ship them back the
laptop and the
I think it was two or three thumb drives.
So we're talking with Amador County Sheriff Gary Redmond here, the Sheriff's Department releasing documentation today in the final determination of the matter and cause of death investigation into Philip Haney. At any time, Gary, did you feel you were a pawn in this investigation?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. You know, when I first put out the press release, I was the undersheriff, and I had talked to my investigative lieutenant, and this was about 2 days afterwards. And it all started for the fact, because, you know, we may or may not do a press release on what we believe is a suicide, and mm-hmm. unless we get, you know, a request from you or sure. the Ledger. Usually it's a local media. Then I'll put together a press release. But I ended up getting a phone call from Congressman Louis Gometz, and he wanted to be very clear that he did not want to see us rush judgment on this. So that was my first kind of red flag, that this is more, because I honestly didn't even know who Philip Haney was.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, there's more to this. But I did do a press release where I did put out, and I still stand by this, that it appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Because what happens in Amador County is when we have something like this, the first thing people do is they start worrying and getting upset that, are you looking for somebody? Is there a danger to the public? Is it a serial, you know, murder that's right. running around? So generally I'll put, it appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which is telling people that, no, we're not actively looking for somebody. And we never were in this case. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of the local stations in Sacramento tried to twist that and say we retracted. And I said, no, we didn't retract. I just tried to clean it up a little bit.
When you arrive at the scene of an incident like this, with all your years of training law enforcement officers, can you take a look at it and go, because I remember I talked to Sheriff Ryan about this mm-hmm. at one time.
Yeah.
And you can almost tell it was staged or it was real. There's, excuse me for saying this, folks, blood spatters. There's certain things that you look for that you can tell, was this set up or not?
Yes.
Did this look like this was suicide? Did it look like it was set up? Was everything wiped clean? Was, you know, how... You know, I've been watching too much TV.
Exactly. You know, it goes back to the conspiracy theories.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's asking me to ask those questions.
You know, you watch Shooter, and they, you know, they had that little contraption trying to make him commit suicide. Those leave marks. You know, you can't, once you start, you know, moving a body after death. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of forensic stuff that it will actually tell you, and you know. When the investigators went out there, first of all, we look at every death as a homicide. That's how we approach it. We approach every death as a homicide, even a normal coroner's case.
Yeah.
This is taught from day one. You approach it as a homicide. That way you never miss anything until it proves otherwise. When you start diving into it, some of them very, very quickly, it's very obvious this was a natural death. This was very obvious that it was it appeared to be a suicide, but until we have that forensic autopsy, we're not going to rule that for sure.
Right.
But they treated it like a homicide. They brought out CSI. We started collecting evidence just like you would in a homicide, which is why we were able to turn over so much evidence.
Yeah. Now, why did the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office? Why did their coroner's office do the autopsy and so forth?
So we contract with El Dorado for our regular autopsies, but they have forensic pathologists, and they can do a homicide, what's called a homicide rule out, collection of DNA, They can tell whether the body was moved, whether the injuries occurred after death, before death. All of that's included in a forensic autopsy.
So he was staying at the 49er Trailer Village. Was his motorhome, was it there, or was the motorhome with him at the location where he was found?
The motorhome was still at the 49er, and it was, extremely clean. It was, everything was put in place.
Go ahead, because I'm going to tell you of a personal experience on that. No, seriously.
So, but you can tell, when they went in, everything was laid out with directions. Mm-hmm. So you look at that, you can look at it in two ways, actually. He was very neat and tidy and was that type of personality, or that was staged, which is why we ended up towing and storing it and having the forensic analysis with the FBI to come in and help us process that.
What I was going to interrupt you to say was that I had early, when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, had a very close friend of mine commit suicide. And before she did it, she made sure her kids got off to school. Mm-hmm. She did clean the house spotless, did all the laundry. Everything was folded. She took a shower, made her hair up, everything, made her bed, and, shot herself.
Not abnormal.
And so going through some, therapy sessions or whatever you want to call it with this, it was like, why? And they said, well, a lot of times when people will check out, they want to make sure that everything has been taken care of. And so it's not a burden on the people that they leave.
Correct.
So they'll clean everything up and it'll look just like wasn't touched.
Correct. So. And our assumption and our theory on this, because, you do develop some theories. You can't prove everything. It appeared that he had spent some time there in a chair watching the sunrise. And that was his place and time that he chose.
Mm-hmm. And the gunshot wound was to his torso, was it?
The upper chest region.
Okay. Did he shoot himself in the heart or near the heart? Or?
I don't recall exactly. It was that's what was the cause, was the upper torso single gunshot wound.
Yeah.
Obviously hit some arteries and enough to kill him.
Right. And nobody else was around? There were no other cars there when it took place? No one?
No, not when we arrived.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's get on to the conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Of this. Have you been working with anybody on this? Has anybody asked to work with you on this? Any agencies or any writers or any reporters or anything like that? Or has this just kind of been forgotten now, the Filippini case?
No, Jack Mitchell's been from the Ledger has been a constant, asking about it and where we're at. The Sacramento Bee has for a while was very interested. And then, in the very beginning, we were just inundated.
Yeah.
But then it kind of died down.
So what could have been on those thumb drives or on his laptop that was so important? He was working on was he working on a second book, or had he just published a book?
My understanding is he was working on a second on book.
Book.
Yeah.
And was that on the Obama administration, or was, what I'm getting at is why the border, why this information here was on there on the customs and border? Why did he have information on them? Why was he studying them? If you're at liberty to say.
Yeah, no, he was part of that organization. So from what we understand is he took information when he left.
Oh, okay.
And that's what caused the issue of you now have our information that they obviously don't want out there, mm-hmm. whether it's policy procedures, what they deemed as contraband.
Sure, and they said, we don't want anyone else to have that.
They did not want that going back to the family. Like I said, we reviewed as much as we could. It was a tremendous amount, mm-hmm. And never once did we come across a theory of Hillary Clinton out killing anybody.
Right. I mean, that's been the big that's been the big one from the very start here.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Clinton hit.
Oh yeah, trust me, I heard all of it. I've talked to numerous people who were convinced that the government killed him, knowing what I knew, and just could not say anything.
After going through some of this evidence, now as the sheriff, did you actually sit there and go through all the pages of this, or do you just get a report that says we reviewed these three thumb drives and here's what we found on those? What I'm getting at, Gary, was there anything on those thumb drives that he could have been working on another book, you know, or on that book that would have divulged some type of big government secret?
From my understanding, no. I talked to the people that actually went through it, because I was, you know, pretty clear that I wanted us to review as much as we possibly could.
Yeah.
That way we're not turning over any information that, you know, may have been part of this investigation. And there wasn't. There wasn't any information that would have led us to believe a different route had been taken.
So why would someone that would be, you know, law-abiding citizen, it seems like, a good government employee, Mr. Haney here, why would he have a unregistered firearm?
Well, we were able to do what's called an ATF trace, and we can do those on unregistered firearms. They're not always successful, but this was successful. So we found the gentleman that was his next-door neighbor, out of state, made contact. He remembered Mr. Haney and remembered that he had actually sold that firearm to him. So the theory of...
How do you do that? How can you... Seriously, is that some secret that you can't divulge?
I won't
today?
Divulge that, Jim.
That's crazy stuff, man.
That's the government conspiracies,
yeah,
conspiracy
that's
stuff.
Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah,
there.
You know, ATF, there's records of firearms. And like I said, sometimes it's successful, sometimes it isn't. And I'm glad this was successful.
Why do you think the FBI or some Department of Justice or some other agency hasn't kind of come in and, you know, swooped in and taken this for their own credit?
Well, they were basically only assisting us in a lot of the analysis. They never took over this investigation. So we never gave this investigation to them. Did they ever ask for it? No. It was a local matter, and they knew that, one, we weren't going to give it to them. But we, you know, we've got a good relationship. They weren't going to try to come in and swoop. I think if they did, it would just sort of, you know, lend some credit to maybe there is a conspiracy going on here, that the federal government now has to take this out of the hands of a local jurisdiction.
Right. That's where I was heading with that.
Yeah.
In dealing with the feds, did they have respect for Mr. Haney? Did they think he was just gone off half cocked?
You know, we honestly, we never even got into that. Mm-hmm. That was never brought up. It was strictly business of how we can accomplish this task. Yeah. We really stayed on point.
So a 2-year investigation comes to an end.
I'm glad it's over.
A suicide.
Correct.
What's the normal investigation time for a suicide?
If we can get if we have to do a forensic autopsy, which we try to do on suicides, but not always, within about a month, two months, we'll have a manner.
All right.
Cause and manner.
And was a lot of this the length due to you had sent the information off to the FBI and they just, oh, it's from Amador County, we better get right on this. And it just kind of gets...
Oh, you know, I was constantly in contact with our FBI office that we were working through, and it you know, went back to Quantico, and it's in the queue. It's in the queue.
Yeah.
Well, it's been in the queue for a year now.
Right.
You know, even, I know, I really appreciate the fact that people think, you know, the sheriff, which at the time was Martin Ryan, has a lot of power, but we can't make the FBI do anything faster than what they're going to do.
Did you ever at any time worry that either you or Sheriff Ryan worry that maybe they were just trying to, you know, to bury this, and maybe if we sit on it long enough, they'll just kind of go away because they've got cattle rustlers and, you know, lost dogs to catch over there in Amador County?
No, you know what? Not at all. Not at all. Like I said, I've got a good relationship with the FBI. Sheriff Ryan had a very good relationship, and they were extremely helpful. You know, they were genuine about it. They knew some of the controversy, obviously. We did talk about some of the controversy surrounding Mr. Haney, which is why we ended up. This isn't something we would have called the FBI to assist on.
Right.
We would have handled it locally.
And what about his family? How did his family take it? What did his family?
So his family accepted it. I believe there might be one member that still believes in the conspiracy, but the next of kin, you know, obviously they have been notified. They were notified several weeks ago.
Right. Was he was married but divorced or separated?
No, he definitely was divorced.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
He was not married because his next of kin, I believe, turned out to be a sister.
Oh, okay.
And the girlfriend, you know, very much believed that he was killed by the federal government.
All right. But instead, he just shot himself while watching the sunrise.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. You know, you can't. I've seen a lot of suicides over the years as a coroner here, and you really can't make sense of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's something's going on, and like sure. I said, the signs were there with some depression, and one of the other factors, I believe he was part of the Ione Rotary. I know he was part of a civic group. But, you know, he made no attempt to hide or, you know, kind of fly under the radar.
Right.
He was very open about who he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, we looked at that as just another piece.
And he lived up at the trailer park for like 3 months, 3 or 4 months, 49er Trailer Village?
I think it was. I know he's got a house somewhere out of state, from my understanding, but was here for whatever reason.
Right. Right. All right. Sheriff Gary Redman, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jim. I appreciate it.
To talk about this. And again, if you've just joined us, we've been talking with Amador County Sheriff Gary Redman. The Sheriff's Department today released, based on the final determination in the matter and cause of death in the investigation of Philip Haney. It was suicide. And the matter now has basically been closed.
Our investigation is done. It's closed.
Yeah. All right. Sheriff Redman, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right.